1:24, are you washed in the blood?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Now on the last, are you that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Amen. Brother Josh Clement, would you mind praying, or opening us up in prayer? Amen. Let's flip back to page 84. Page 84, Mansion Over the Hilltop. Page 84, Mansion Over the Hilltop.
I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransomed will shine, I want a gold one, that silver lined. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk on streets that are pure as gold. Though often tempted, tormented and tested, and like the prophet, my pillow a stone. And though I find here no permanent dwelling, I know He'll give me a mansion my own. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, Don't think me poor or deserted or lonely. I'm not discouraged. I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of that city. I want a mansion, a harp and a crown. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk on streets that are purest gold.
Amen. I've often wondered, though, if our mansion is going to need maintenance. Because after this weekend, I don't ever want to roof a house again. So that's why I have red ears. So anyway, I was just thinking about that. I'm like, I wonder if my mansion will have to have a new roof on it. Probably not. So it makes me even happier. So let's flip over one more time to page number 32. Page number 32. I'm sorry, 204. 204. 32 is last week's. 204 is this week's. Page number 204. Page 204. To God be the glory.
To God be the glory. Great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life in atonement for sin, and opened the life gates that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done.
Now on the second, when we reach the chorus, let's greet our neighbor with a handshake.
Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes receives. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Join me on the last as you find your seat.
Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
Amen. Good singing this morning. Brother Rick D'Amato, would you pray for the offering? Amen. You may be seated.
Brother Russell. All right, so by way of announcements, this morning, pastor's out of town until Tuesday. He'll be back on Tuesday, and then he'll be here to preach on Wednesday night, and then the men are leaving Thursday morning at 9 o'clock for the men's retreat. They'll be back about 4 o'clock on Saturday. We still have a sign-up sheet up here. If you've not signed up, it's not too late to go. I wish I could go. I went to go check the calendar to see if anybody else was off, and one of my coworkers had already asked off for it, so I was not able to go this year, but it's not too late to go, and the men will be leaving at 9 o'clock on Thursday. Other than that, Elijah's address is still in there. He's getting close to being done. And then our missionaries, Brother Mike Meredith and Ronnie Gallo from the Fiji Islands, remember them in prayer. And so pastor's gone this morning, so I get to preach this morning, and then Brother Bill Nelson will preach tonight. It was a little different, I'm not going to lie, not leading singing while I was here. I had to resist the urge to not start to lead singing with the one hand when Brother Ryan started. I was like, oh, wait, no, I'm not leading the singing today. I'm just singing. So it was a little different, but it was also a blessing. I don't get to sing the bass part very often anymore on the congregations, which I enjoy because I'm always leading singing. So I was over here singing my part. Hopefully I didn't mess up Ryan too much. So that was a blessing. Also, we have the church potluck sign up. It should be Sunday, October 14th, so no evening service that night. So we'll start this around again. Start over here. And then one more thing as far as announcements go. We have several birthdays today. All right. So today is Miss Madison Clement's birthday, Miss Leah Little's, and Miss Billy Teeter's. So would you please join me in stand? We'll sing happy birthday to everyone this morning and to wish them a happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. All right, thank you. You may have a seat. It's always awkward when you have more than one people having birthdays, right? It's either Madison, Leah, and Billy, or just God bless you, just wish everybody a happy birthday. So, all right, so this morning, if you would, open your Bible and turn to the book of 2 Kings. We're going to be in 2 Kings, and we're going to be in chapter 22 this morning. 2 Kings chapter 22 this morning. Whenever I read through especially the Old Testament, and you're reading through it, and you read through a passage of scripture, and it's like, oh, that was a cool story, you know. And then you go to the next one, and it's like, oh, that's neat how that happened. But it's not until I really start to study it and dive in that it becomes even more amazing. When you think about, when you put it in context of its time and place and what's going on, the Old Testament stories, I just truly enjoy studying and reading. And so we're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 22 this morning, starting at verse number 1. It says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. So we're going to learn about King Josiah this morning. Josiah was 8 years old. My nephew Jake is 7. Think about that. So next year, when Jake turns 8, he would have been as old as King Josiah when they made him king over Judah. The fact that an 8-year-old is made king is just unbelievable. But then you read what he did, it's pretty amazing. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for all that you've given us. I thank you for the beautiful day. I thank you for just allowing me the opportunity to preach this morning. I pray that you get me with my words. I pray that you fill me with your spirit. I pray that the message would be a blessing and that we would learn from your word this morning. I pray that you give us a great rest of the day. Be with us now in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right or to the left. Josiah was 8 years old. So we need to learn just a little bit more about what is going on at this time when Josiah becomes king. How does an 8-year-old get to be king over a nation? What had to have happened for that to come to pass? Because normally you would hope they would be a little older, But something must have happened. His father must have died or something tragic in order for an 8-year-old to become king. Well, we have to look back at what had happened years leading up to this. Look back to chapter number 21. Chapter 21, Manasseh, now he was 12 when he became king. That's a little better than 8, but still, he's 12. Where's Nolan? Nolan's 12. Would you like to be king? Yeah, I bet. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hephzibah. Whenever I hear Hephzibah, I always think of seven brides for seven brothers. His mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. For he built up the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and reared up altars for Baal, and made a grove, and did as did Ahab, king of Israel, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, in Jerusalem will I put my name. And it just goes on to list all of the evil things that Manasseh did and how he led Israel, Egypt, astray. Egypt. Led Judah astray from following after God. Now, Manasseh, he came from good stock, if you would. He was Hezekiah's son. And Hezekiah was a great king. Hezekiah followed after the Lord with all his heart. But when Hezekiah got sick and he prayed unto the Lord to take that from him, God answered his prayer and gave Hezekiah 15 more years to rule and reign in Jerusalem. And now remember, Manasseh was 12. So he wasn't born until after his father was healed and in the second half of Hezekiah's reign. Yeah, Hezekiah was a great king, but Hezekiah made a big mistake in that 15 years. And kind of thought that he was invincible. I mean, he knew exactly when he was going to die. He knew he was going to live for another 15 years. And he made a mistake when the princes of Babylon came in to wish him well. They heard he was sick. He showed them everything in the land. All of the treasuries, all the good things in their palaces and their land, and hid nothing from them. Now, if you have princes or dignitaries from a foreign land come in, yeah, you want to be hospitable. You want to show them a good time, but you don't want to give everything away. Because what if, as it turns out, they were just happened to be spying on the land and seeing what they would get if they were to take you over? And so when the prophet came to Hezekiah and asked him, what did you show them? He said, well, I showed them everything. I hid nothing from them. And so because of that, God said that he was going to take everything from Hezekiah. Hezekiah said, okay, makes sense. Is it going to happen while I'm king? The prophet said, no. And so he was okay. And it was during that time that Manasseh was born. And Manasseh reigned 55 years. And during that time, he did nothing but turn the people's hearts away from God to Baal and other idols and groves. And the Bible's talked about how he made his sons pass through the fire and offer them to the god of, I think his name is Molech, which is literally what they would do was take their babies and throw them into the fire. That's the kind of idol worship that Manasseh was involved in and the heathen worship that he was involved in, and that's the direction that he led the nation. It even about how he put statues and idols in the house of the Lord for 55 years. And then once Manasseh passed away, verse number 19 of chapter number 21, and Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Meshulameth, the daughter of Haruz of Jotba, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. And he walked in all the way that his father walked in, and served the idols that his father served, and worshipped them. And he forsook the Lord God of his fathers, and walked not in the way of the Lord. And so Amon led the same way that Manasseh did. He worshipped the same idols and the same false gods that Manasseh did. Well, what happened to Amon? Well, verse 23, and the servants of Amon conspired against him and slew the king in his own house. He was so wicked, his own servants killed him in his own house, in the palace. And the people of the land slew all them that had conspired against King Amon. And the people of the land made Josiah, his son, king in his stead. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. So this gives you a picture of what's going on in Jerusalem, in Judah, when Josiah becomes king, and how the idol worship and the false gods and the direction that the nation was headed when he began to be king. But what does it say of Josiah? Verse 2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand nor to the left. He forsook the idol worship that his father and grandfather were involved in, and he decided, no, I'm going to follow the Lord, which would have been a hard thing to do in that time with what his father and grandfather had done. Well, what did Josiah do? Well, turn forward into 2 Chronicles chapter 34, and we'll find out exactly what Josiah did. Second Chronicles 34, this is the other account of King Josiah. Verse number 3, it says, for in the 8th year of his reign, so he would be 16, and he has already been king for 8 years. For the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after God, after the God of David his father, and in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and groves and the carved images and the molten images. Groves are simply like totem poles. Verse 4, and they break down the altars of Balaam, which means many Baal, in his presence and the image that were on high above them. He cut down the groves and the carved images and the molten images. He brake in pieces and made dust of them, and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burned the bones of the priests upon their altars, and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali and their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves, and had beaten the graven images into powder, and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. So beginning in his 8th year, when he really began to seek God, and then his 12th year, he went through the land, and he purged the land of all the idol worship. and the groves and the altars, and he got rid of them all. So he's off to a good start. He's off to a really good start. He's following after David, his father, and following the Lord with all his heart. Well, he didn't stop there. And we come to the main part of the message here, and starting at verse number 3, of what happened when Josiah was 26 years old. And it came to pass in the 18th year. He has been king for 18 years. 18th year of King Josiah, that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshulam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, "Go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people," meaning the tithes and offerings, "and let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house, unto carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewed stone to repair the house. Howbeit there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered unto their hand, because they dealt faithfully." So it wasn't enough to go and purge the land of all the altars and the idol worships and the worshipers and the groves and the false prophets. He now turns his attention to the house of the Lord, the temple. And he sends word to the priests, and say, "Okay, count the money, count the tithes and offerings that have been collected and stored, and give it to the contractors and to the builders, that they can repair the house of the Lord. They can buy timber. They can hew stone so that they can rebuild the house of the Lord, because no doubt it had been neglected for quite some time, almost 60 years. And even longer by this time, by the time that he becomes, by his 18th year. And you remember what Manasseh had done. Manasseh had even set idols up in the house of the Lord, so it wasn't being used for worshiping God, it was being used for worshiping false gods and idols. So it had probably fallen in quite disrepair. So Josiah says, "Okay, let's fix it. Let's clean up the house of the Lord. Let's rebuild it so that we can use it for its purpose." Verse number 8. "And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan," this the fact that this happens is quite surprising, "said unto Shaphan the scribe, 'I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord.' And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it." Do you understand what just happened? The priest, the one who is in charge of the house of the Lord, of the temple, and of the worship, he finds the book of the law. You would think that the priest, the one who is over the worship of the house of the Lord, he would know where the book of the law would be. But no, it says here that he finds it, and he gives it to the scribe, to Shaphan, the servant of the king, and he reads it. Now, I got to thinking, a lot of times when you think the book of the law, at least I did, and how Shaphan, how he sat down and read it, I was like, man, that must have taken him forever. But you think about it, it probably really didn't. Because what time are we? We're still in the times of the kings of Israel. And so he maybe had the law, the Pentateuch, the first five books, maybe Joshua and Judges, maybe some of the writings of Samuel. So it wasn't nearly the 66 books that we have. And so it might not have taken him that long to read it. And so he sat down and he read it, and after he reads it, he realizes what it is, and he sends it straight to the king. Verse 9, "And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, 'The servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that have oversight over the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. So he brings it before the king. He reads it. And after hearing it, verse number 11, and it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. It's a sign of mourning and disbelief and repentance, that he rends his clothes because of what was read to him. Evidently, it must have spoke to him. It must have been pretty powerful. It must have been pretty eye-opening, something that he had not ever heard before, which is surprising considering what the kings of Israel were commanded to do. With me now, turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 14. Now remember, this is the last, this is the fifth book of the Bible. This was the last book that Moses wrote, the last book of the law. And this was given to Moses on Mount Sinai, when they were in the wilderness after they had been led out of captivity from Egypt. And this is what God tells Moses then. Verse 14. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me. Now if that sounds familiar, that's what the people said in 1 Samuel, after the time of the judges, where God was supposed to reign over them, and they had certain prophets and judges that told them God's will for their lives and delivered them out of the hands of the enemy, they finally said, we want a king like the other nations. Well, God already knew that that was going to happen, so he put in the law what the kings of his nation were supposed to do. So the verse 15, thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord has said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more this way. Meaning that he's not supposed to gain a bunch of wealth. He's not supposed to forsake his people in order to gain money and gain horses, gain livestock, or to return back to Egypt because they were delivered from that place. Verse 17, neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. There's a lot of kings that disobeyed that. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. Verse number 18, look at this. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he, the king, shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. So the kings of Israel, when they became the king, they were supposed to take a copy of the law from the Levites and the priests and write it out himself for him to read every day and abide by. Now, I wonder how many kings actually did it. When you look at the history, probably very few. But that's what they were commanded to do. And no doubt, he had not done that. He probably didn't know. He didn't have, the priests, they couldn't even find it. So they wouldn't have been able to give it to him for him to copy it out. And so he finally gets a copy of the law. It is read to him by Shaphan the scribe. And what does he do when he hears it? He rends his clothes in sorrow because of what was read. So now the king has a decision to make. What is he going to do? Well, he sends Hilkiah the priest and Shaphan the scribe and a couple other of his servants to a priestess to figure out and ask her, what does this mean and what do we need to do about it? So they went and they saw and they sought out Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikvath, in verse number 14, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. So we're back in 2 Kings chapter 22, and it comes down to verse 15. And she said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me. So after they tell her what has happened and they commune with her, this is the counsel that she gives back to them from the word of the Lord. 16. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. Now, if that's all she said, I don't know about you, but if I was Hilkiah the priest and Shaphan the scribe, I don't know that I'd want to go back to the king. Because it's nothing but bad news that what they read in the law was going to happen. Well, I got to thinking, I was like, what in the world did he read? Because there's lots in the Bible. It talks about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the first five books on how God protected them and God made them to prosper. And then through the law, what they were supposed to do. What was read to King Josiah that made him rend his clothes, that made him go seek out hold of the prophetess because of what was to come? Well, then I looked back in Leviticus chapter 26. And Leviticus chapter 26 says, verse 14, and this is after all the law and the statutes have been given. Verse 14, but if ye will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments that have been given, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I will also do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague, which is kind of like a malaria-type disease and fever, that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and ye shall sorrow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it, shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it, and I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. And if ye will not hearken yet for all this, hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. And it just keeps going on and on and on about how if they do not follow God and they forsake God, how he is going to punish them. Why would he be so harsh on the people of Israel? Because they know what's right. They have the law. They know what they're supposed to do. They know how they're supposed to follow God, and that they already know what happens if they disobey. And so if they do forsake God, he is going to severely punish them. Seven times more for his sin. It says several times in this passage, and how he will send others to overtake them and to rule over them. They won't even be in charge of their own land. So no doubt, when Josiah heard this and he looked around and saw the sin and the idolatry worship and the altars that had been built and were being worshipped in Israel, in Judah, he rent his clothes saying, "Oh my goodness, what have we done? What is going to happen to us because we have done this? That's what we deserve. That's the punishment that we deserve." And remember, he was a great king. He had already purged a lot of the country, a lot of the nation. And remember what Huldah the prophetess said, that God's judgment surely will come to pass. But thankfully, she did not end there. Verse 18, "But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall ye say to him, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the word which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before thee. I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered unto thy grave in peace. And thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I bring upon this place." And they brought the king word again. So because Josiah rent his clothes and he was sorry and had a repentful heart, God told him, yes, the judgment is going to come, but not in your days. You will have peace. Now, Josiah could have done what Hezekiah did and kind of celebrated. Be like, whew, I don't have to worry about this. It's not going to be in my time. But that's not what Josiah did. He goes on in chapter number 23. He gathered all the elders of Judah and all the people to him, and he read them the law. In verse number 3, "And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their hearts and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in the book, and all the people stood to the covenant." They made a covenant with God that they were going to follow God's word. They were going to follow after God. And Josiah did all the rest of his life. And not only that, he reinstituted the Passover and worship of God and offering up burnt sacrifices to God. And so not only did he purge the nation from their idols, but he also turned their hearts back towards following God like a good king is supposed to do. And I just got to thinking, you know, isn't it amazing how when your house is a little messy, or when you're growing up and your room's a mess and you can't find anything, and when you actually decide, oh, I should probably clean up, or you obey your mom and dad and you go actually clean your room and not just throw it in your closet or underneath your bed, what you find. So this last summer, we normally always bring our big water balloon launcher to junior camp. It's a blast. I mean, this thing is huge, and it'll throw a water balloon 200 yards. And it's so much fun for the kids. Well, we couldn't find it. And we looked everywhere. I was like, man, I don't know where this is. Well, we were upstairs in Carly and Courtney's bedroom, cleaning out, getting ready to put Courtney's crib up, I believe, and cleaning the room out to make a little bit more room. And we opened up a bin that we were cleaning out, and lo and behold, what was in the bin? The water balloon launcher, along with my hunting knife that I couldn't find, and some other things. But it's amazing once you decide to clean up what you find. Now, I didn't ask him for this, but I'm going to embarrass Justin just a little bit. I remember when Justin was in our junior high class, and I know the Nelsons. I know they all have Bibles. And Justin would come to class every single day, and he'd sit down. I was like, Justin, where's your Bible? Oh, I can't find it. The next Sunday, Justin, where's your Bible? Oh, I can't find it. And then one Sunday, he shows up with his Bible. He's like, oh, you found it. Where was it? Oh, I cleaned my room. It was on my bed. Do you remember that? Probably not. But when you clean up, you find some things that, oh, I forgot I was missing that. Oh, that's where that's at. Well, the same thing happens in our lives. When we decide to get rid of the junk that's in our lives, we decide to clean up and turn to God and follow Him. It's amazing what we find. They cleaned up the house of the Lord, and Hilkiah the priest found the word of the Lord. He found the law, and it turned the whole country around. And it may have stayed God's judgment for some time, because Josiah decided he was going to follow God. He was going to do what was right. And he found the... And it, he could have, after he read the law and purged, okay, whew, I'm so thankful it's not going to come in my lifetime. But no, he didn't stop there. He made a covenant to follow God and to serve Him and to keep the law. And just like Josiah, that's what we need to do. You know, sometimes you get into a place where everything just seems like it's going wrong. And you think, oh, how in the world am I going to get through this? And you finally realize, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to ask God and seek God and seek His counsel. And you find your Bible and you read it and you seek God, and it just seems like that peace comes over you. He gives you the answer that you need. He helps you through. He gives you the strength. And you sit back and it's like, well, I don't know how I made it through that. It just came to mind. When Carly was born, I wasn't expecting this. But she was a meconium baby. And she was born not breathing for 5 minutes. And they took her away, and I remember standing there looking through this little bitty window, because that's all we could see through, and there's 10 or 12 people all around her, doctors, nurses, radiologists, anesthesiologists. And I remember thinking, that's my baby. Am I ever going to get to hold her? And my mom said, do you want to pray? I said, yeah. So I prayed right there for my baby girl. And just had to give everything over to God and let Him have control. Because there's nothing I could do. There's going through a trial, and there's absolute, I have no control whatsoever over what is happening. And God just gives you that peace. And everything's going to be okay. They call her my little miracle. They life-flighted her to Great Falls, and they said 2 weeks she was going to be in the hospital, in the NICU unit in Great Falls, and she was out in 4 days. That's what God can do when you seek Him and when you put Him first. No doubt, we all have things in our lives that can stop us from seeking God, that have cluttered our lives. I want to encourage you, like Josiah, clean house. Get rid of it and seek God. Find your Bible. Get in it day after day. And not just read it, but promise to follow it. Meditate on it. Research it. And see what God does in your lives. And how it'll be easier to clean up. And you'll get a picture of who you really are. Just kind of like Josiah, after reading, stand back and looked at what was going on in his nation. And you think, what have we done? How have we sinned? When you read your Bible, you realize what kind of person you really are. And it makes it even more amazing that God sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for you. And that He loved you that much. To forgive you of your sins and take you to heaven when you die. If you just repent and ask Him to forgive you. And He will. It doesn't matter what you've done, who you are, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Some of us need to clean house this morning. Need to get rid of the things in our lives that are hindering us from serving God. Hindering us from reading His word and obeying it. I want to encourage you to get it right this morning. Or maybe you have not ever asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you. I can show you from His word how you can know 100% for sure that if you died today, you would go to heaven. We're going to have an invitation time. It'd be a perfect time to come and ask God into your heart. It'd be a perfect time to come and say, Lord, I need help. There's things in my life that I need to clear out so that I can serve you, so that I can turn my life around just like Josiah did the nation of Israel. Would you please join me in stand? All eyes closed, heads bowed. We're going to sing a song of invitation. When the piano begins to play and Brother Ryan begins to sing, just step out. Come to the altar and clean house this morning. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank You for this day, Lord. Thank You for all that You've given us. Thank You for Your word. I thank You for the account of just King Josiah and how he followed You with his whole heart, Lord, but it wasn't just enough to clear out Israel. When he found the law, Lord, that he read it and he made a covenant to obey it and to serve You, and how You turned that country around from serving idols under Manasseh and Amon to serving You. Lord, I pray that You be with us this morning, that we clean our own lives out. Now we get rid of things that are stopping us from serving You or stopping us from reading Your word and following You, Lord, and doing what You would will for our lives. And I pray if there's anybody here who's not ever maybe heard the gospel or not ever asked You into their heart to forgive them of their sins, that today would be the day. Lord, I pray that You give us a great rest of the afternoon. Be with us now in Jesus' name, I pray.